Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hello, I'm Larry Mueller, and today Melinda Myers joins us from Milwaukee. She has, she's done so many things in the gardening area, I could hardly mention them all. I know she hosts the Great Lakes Gardener PBS TV show, taught horticulture. She's been an extension horticulture specialist for the University of Wisconsin Extension.
That's where I started my career.
That's
here
where
in Wisconsin.
She started. Where she started her career, and so she's going to be answering all of your gardening questions, the indoor and outdoor. And Joy Cardine, who is no slouch herself when it comes to green thumbs.
Oh yeah, that's me, Larry. You betcha. I know Mel by her book, Month by Month Gardening in Wisconsin, just a tremendous resource for anybody who is a gardener. And a special thank you during this, our last day, the last opportunity that you have during Garden Talk to make a pledge to support Wisconsin Public Radio, 1-800-383-9772, or pledge on the web at WPR.org. And this month-by-month Gardening in Wisconsin book by Mel Myers, for $12.50 a month, or $150 contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio.
And it's a brand new and all revised month-by-month gardening here in Wisconsin. It's a wonderful book, and we'll be talking with Mel some more about it, but lots of flashy, beautiful color photography in this one, Mel.
Exactly. So as you're looking at the task to do a little colorful inspiration to keep you moving, or at least in these kind of days to keep you thinking spring is around the corner somewhere.
Well, I tell you what, for a $150 contribution, you can get a copy of Mel's book. You can know that you're helping out Garden Talk. I think it's one of our most popular weekday programs is our Friday Garden Talk. And we'd love to hear some votes or see some votes from you in the financial voting area for support of Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So a $150 contribution will send you the member benefit card, and we will also send you a copy of Mel's book, the brand new version, Gardening in Wisconsin, Month by Month. 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org.
And Larry, not only do we have these great thank you gifts for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio during this hour, the book and the member benefit card, but we also have a challenge grant.
That's right.
We have a special incentive for you to help Wisconsin Public Radio meet our fundraising goals, and the goal this hour is $8,000 for this hour, and another $5,000 for until 12:30. So if we reach that $13,000 goal, I can't add, what is the overall goal? $13,000 goal, an extra $500 is going to go into the coffers thanks to the Qualine Fence Company in Wanakee. 1-800-383-9772. So all sorts of great reasons to contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio during this hour. 1-800-383-9772. But the best reason, Larry, is because Garden Talk and Wisconsin Public Radio needs listener support in order to stay strong.
That's exactly right. And as I said before, it is really one of our most popular programs during the week here on the Ideas Network. And Mel Myers always does a wonderful job every time she's here. We have many, many great guests who come on our Friday program to talk gardening. Dick Zondag from Jung's comes by. I mean, he was actually here earlier in the week to talk about some other things as well. But a whole host of University of Wisconsin Extension horticulturists, authors of books who may not be associated with the university directly, but have oftentimes graduated from here.
Right, exactly. And there's great resources that even as a professional, I love to tune in and listen to get other perspectives and hear what other gardeners are asking and saying and sharing information. So it is a great resource for all of us.
And this is a great resource, Mel, your book. I actually pledged gift membership to a good friend who is a gardener about a year or so ago when you were on. She loves the book. I want one too because I need to know what to do month by month in my garden. And you'll love it as well. For your pledge of $12.50 a month or more, a $150 pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio during this hour of Garden Talk, the last opportunity during this winter membership drive for you to show your support for Garden Talk and for Wisconsin Public Radio, 1-800-383-9772. 7672 or WPR.org.
And don't forget, it's easy to pledge. We have great volunteers ready to take your call, which only takes a couple of minutes. And it's also easy just to go online at WPR.org. However you want to do it, this is really the time, the last chance you have to put in a vote, your vote for Garden Talk. So no matter what the amount, if it's $50 or $150 or $1,200, and join us on our cruise. We'll talk some more about that cruise later on. But the cruise of ideas with Joy Cardine and Gene Ferracca and myself on Lake Monona on June 30th. We'd love to see about, I think we had about 12 or so.
I'm
going to
check. I'll
left.
Check. I'll check in Pledge Central.
Okay.
But I know that we certainly have. Got to give away a number of pairs of tickets to that event. There is limited seating, of course, on the boat, and we'd love to have you there. That's a special thank you for a pledge of $100 a month or more, a $1,200 mm-hmm. pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, and we'll have two pairs of tickets for you to hang out with us on the boat on June 30th. Something nice to think about on a day like today.
And Joy has many deep, dark secrets about Wisconsin. Some public radio. If you ask her about them on the cruise, she'll probably let a little of it
out. Let me tell that story, Larry? 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Again, the last opportunity during this winter membership drive for you to show your support for Larry. You love Larry. That's why you're listening right now. You love the Garden Talk program because you love to hear guests like Mel Myers and all of the great guests that Larry has on day in and day out on his program. And because you love to listen along to Larry and his great guests, and because you love to hear answers to questions about gardening or whatever the topic may be, call in that pledge right now. Help us reach this goal of $13,000 before the end of the program so we can collect this extra $500 pledge from Qualine Fence and Wanakee, a challenge grant from Qualine Fence, to encourage you to call in that pledge of support to Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-383-9772.
Or go online to WPR.org. Joy, why don't you check out the status of our pairs of tickets and get back to us later on.
Yeah, I will do that. Thanks.
All right. And Mel, really a pleasure to have you back.
Great to be here. Thanks, Larry.
And all kinds of topics I'm sure we can talk about today. I know Laura in Twin Lakes already has a question.
Okay.
So let's just go online.
Sounds great.
Hi, Laura.
Yeah, hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I was calling to find out, I've got two things that I'd like to use as fertilizer or incorporate into my compost, and it's wood ashes from my fireplace and pigeon droppings from some pigeons I keep.
Okay.
And I'd like to use those, but I don't know what concentration or whatever.
Right, great questions. Let's start with wood ash first. Wood ash is a very alkaline substance, so if you are going to recycle it, your compost pile would be a good place to do it. And depending on the pH, and where are you from again? I'm sorry.
Twin Lakes,
Northern Wisconsin.
So your soil tends to be a little acidic, so adding an alkaline material would be okay. A soil test will tell you what and how much. There's a great website I was just on, and I think it was Cornell University that gave a rate for how much wood ash so that you don't disrupt that. So you don't disrupt the pH too much, because mm-hmm. too much lime can be a bad thing, raising the pH too high. You're in a more acidic area, so you can tolerate it. Those of us in southern Wisconsin should not be putting wood ash on our gardens because our soils are already too sweet or too alkaline.
Twin Lakes is right near Lake Geneva.
Oh,
Lake Geneva. Okay, sorry. That's my fault. Then don't do that.
Right.
I should have brought my Wisconsin map. I'm showing my ignorance on those small towns. Sorry about that. So don't put that in your soil. And if you can, if you're going to put it in the compost, try to spread it out as much as possible. If you're recycling it in an area, you know, under your pathways or somewhere where you have minimal impact on plants. So try to, you know, it might be one of those that you send to the dump. Pigeon droppings, this is a little far field of my expertise. I worry about diseases. Now you've raised them, so there may be control, but typically we don't use urban bird or cat feces or dog feces because of the risk of disease to humans. So I would probably talk to your vet if you're working with someone to see if there's any of those diseases that can be transferred. The good news about compost, if you're doing casual composting, as I call it, where you throw it in a heap and let it rot, by the time it's broken down and you're using it, you've probably all of the high nitrogen is leached out mm-hmm. of the soil, or you can capture it and create compost tea if you want. But I would check with your vet. I wish Scott Craven was here. That's why the other reason I listen to this radio station, because I can listen to experts like Scott, because he might have some insight into, I just worry about disease issues. So check with your vet might be a good place just to make sure.
Mm-hmm. And thanks a lot for calling, Laura. Appreciate it very much. And you can join in too, by the way. I haven't given that number yet. Here it is. If you have a question for Melinda Myers, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. If you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890. 263-1890. Give a call. We'll be glad to get you on the air. Yeah, I guess I wouldn't fool around with the pigeon droppings and.
Yes, I'm not sure, but always with urban birds, we're always very careful. I have cats, but I don't compost, and they're house cats. But there's worrisome about disease and problems like that. So I figure if you're recycling everything else and being good, that might be one thing that you put in the landfill to decompose instead.
You're really a cottage industry unto yourself. I see you're speaking at the Philadelphia Flower Show. That's the largest indoor flower show in the world, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. That's my next stop is Philadelphia, so I'm very excited. Well, not my next stop. Green Bay is my next stop, but then after that is Philadelphia, and I was just at this in Seattle at the Northwest Flower Show. So it's very exciting to see what's happening on each side of the country so that I can bring back some of those ideas and share with gardeners here in Wisconsin.
And what are you going to talk about?
Small space gardening.
The
theme in Philadelphia is Ireland, so my topic is small space gardens aren't just for wee people.
Okay. And more dates come. You mentioned Green Bay, but you're March 15th? Where are you? Pewaukee.
In Pewaukee, Cannabis Landscaping is sponsoring me to speak about creating outdoor living space. So get everybody fired up and inspired mm-hmm. on things you can do in your backyard. And then I'll be at Old Brook Botanic Garden as well in April. And hope that people can come out and join me.
That's on April 17th. And I think you're even April 14th, you're in Muskego.
Yes, exactly. So please stop by and join me. It's great to chat on the radio, but I love meeting all your listeners in person as well.
Hopefully the snow will be gone by that time.
I hope so. Otherwise, come and let's look at some pretty pictures and pretend.
All right. Let's go to Carol in DeForest next. Carol, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, I have a question about pimento seeds. I planted pimentos last year and had a fantastic crop. I still have pimento seeds left from that that group of pimentos.
Okay.
I also kept some over and dried the pimento, and I have seeds from 2006 now.
Okay.
My first question is, should I continue to use the seeds from 2005, or should I use the 2006?
Great question. This is perfect time because I love to share this tip with people who save seed, whether they collect and save those seeds or if they've got leftover seeds and mm-hmm. store them. Storage is one of the issues that if you store them in a cool, dark location, their longevity is going to last. So I like to keep them in their original packet, or if I've collected them in an envelope, in an airtight jar or container, label them so you know what you have, and that's going to give you the greatest longevity. Then some seeds save better than others. So here's a simple test you can do. Take a wet paper towel. If you've got lots of seeds, put 10 seeds in that moist paper towel, roll it up, put mm-hmm. it in a baggie, put it in a warm place for about 5 to 7 days. Open it up, see what sprouts.
Okay.
If all of them sprout, you've got good germination, so you can seed normally. If only half of them sprout, then you've got a seed twice as thick. If none of them sprout, you might want to give them a few more days, but then those would be the ones to throw in the compost pile and then just use the fresher seed. And then those sprouted seeds don't have to go to waste. If you do this right before you'd normally plant, then use those pre-germinated seeds and plant them and get a head start on the garden.
Oh,
so
good
it's
idea.
It's a simple test. know all the guidelines of these seeds last this many years and this seeds last this many years. As gardeners, we know we break all the rules, mm-hmm. and sometimes it works. And I've had seeds stored not as properly as they should have been, like in a desk drawer. Okay. And they came back okay.
Well, I did that with the first year. I just dried them and I just put them in an envelope and kept them in a drawer and then used them and they were great.
Excellent.
So I'll try it. My question then, we started them in a sunny window last year.
Right.
And about mid-March, I've lost my window. I can't use that window anymore. Can I do them under a grow light?
Oh, yeah, that's even better.
Oh, is that? Okay.
It is. Sunny windows in Wisconsin aren't always good enough for some of our transplants, and I like doing a combination. If you have a sunny window mm-hmm. and you can add an artificial light, then you get the best of both worlds. But just an artificial light will work. One of the keys is keeping that light about 4 to 6 inches above the top of the seedlings. You know, it mm-hmm. seems like a lot of light, but if you go too far up, you're going to get long, leggy seedlings. You're spending the same amount of money on energy and getting poor results. So keep them close. You know, as the seedlings grow, you either need to lower the seedlings or raise the light, mm-hmm. but you'll get nice, sturdy plants that way.
Okay, so I will test my seeds and see what I get. Well, thank you for your help.
Well, yep. Thanks a lot, and good luck this summer.
Thanks very much for calling, Carol. Melinda Myers of Milwaukee, our guest today here on Garden Talk. Jim Packard, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Horticulture expert Melinda Myers, author of Month by Month Gardening in Wisconsin, among other books, our guest today on this edition of Garden Talk. Thanks a lot for listening in. Give us a call if you have a question at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. On some open lines, we'll get you on pretty fast. Catherine in Johnson Creek, your turn. Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
Good morning.
Whoops. Turn your mic on. That'll help. I needed to turn your mic on. Thanks for calling, Catherine.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, what can
Mel,
we do for
I
you?
I love your book.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, I have a question. We just had a house built in Johnson Creek, a totally empty pallet.
Oh.
And it's clay soil. I'm a transplant from California, so this is so new to me, this clay stuff.
Okay.
My question is what trees would be pretty good to plant in clay soil?
You know, a couple things to consider. Well, one, you're right. Clay is pretty tough to deal with, and you're right to look for plants that tolerate it because it's impossible to change the whole soil mass where those trees are going to grow. Some plants that have done very well, Kentucky coffee tree is often underutilized. It's a relative of the honey locust, really neat bark. It's kind of a gray, and it looks like when I used to teach plant ID, it was all about food clues. So yeah. We all were hungry by the end of class. But like that royal frosting, it has really scalloped bark that's beautiful, very bold texture. There are male clones like espresso, which don't produce the little fruit seed pods, which look like burnt taco shells hanging on the tree. So mm-hmm. I think they add winter interest. It has huge leaves, little leaflets on these big leaves. So it has a very soft texture in the summer. And as they drop, a very bold texture for the winter. And that's a very good shade tree that will tolerate our area. Lindens will do well. The Redmond linden, which is, there's debate on if it's a true American linden or a hybrid or a cultivar of it. That one will tolerate the conditions pretty well. Also, it's a big tree. If you want a smaller scale, the little leaf linden, or even a nice one is the silver linden that has kind of a silver backing to the leaves.
Mm-hmm,
and it
that's
looks
pretty.
And it's beautiful. And they have fragrant yellow flowers in the summer. The bees like them. And I only tell you that not as a you shouldn't grow it, but as a warning if bees freak you out. They won't bother you. They're so drugged up on the nectar from the flowers, they really don't care. So it's kind of a nice fragrance and some nice color as well. We're seeing a lot of use of Freeman maple, and if you're going to put Freeman maple in, it's one that tolerates our alkaline soils, has the good qualities of a red maple, the fast growth and the hardiness of the mm-hmm. silver maple put in together. That would be one that you'd want to plant in the spring. They seem to do better at the spring transplant. Amur cork tree, a little harder to find. Macho is the male cultivar. The female produces lots of fruit, which the birds love, but then you have the mess in the seedlings. But if you're trying to attract wildlife, you might want to get the straight Amur cork tree. Nice corky bark, very pretty soft texture plant. Go with a smaller tree, less than 2.5 inches in diameter. It'll transplant much better. A couple things you may want to do. visit, and actually some of the oaks do well. We don't think of planting oaks, but, mm-hmm. you know, bur oak and swamp white oak are some good choices for our area. They take our soils and our heavier soils and our alkaline conditions. But visit the botanic gardens. We've got a lot of really great gems here. Ulbrich here in Madison, Rotary in Janesville, Burner in Milwaukee, Green Bay Botanic mm-hmm. Garden in Green Bay.
Great places.
Oh, excellent places. And it's a good place to go because what I like and enjoy, you may not like. And one last one, Turkish filbert, a wonderful tree being used a little bit more.
Yeah.
It will produce filberts eventually, and it's as they get older. We have a few of them as street trees in Milwaukee, and there's one street not too far from where I live that has loaded with fruit, which I think is a good thing. The squirrels will take care of it, not a mess to clean up. But it's got a nice pyramidal habit. When the flowers come out in the spring, they just look like little strings hanging mm-hmm. down, not like a magnolia, but it's got great texture against the winter sky, good coarse bark, and nice fall color.
And if you're thinking cool. of, hopefully thinking about planting more than one tree, be sure to plant a variety of trees. Don't just go with one type.
Good point, because, you know, we suffered Dutch elm disease, and you'd think we would have learned our lesson. And then we've got 65% of the urban forest. I think that was one of the last statistics I heard, is Norway maple. Now we're worried about ash as a native tree. So it's native in our woodland, but it's such a tough tree. We put them in our urban areas. And the emerald ash borer is surrounding us. We don't know if it's here yet or not, and there's been no recorded sightings, but you're right. If you had one ash and you lost it, that's one thing, but to lose your whole planting because it's all the same tree.
Right.
So a diversity gives you interest, extended interest in the landscape, but also some good insect and disease resistance, too. Mm-hmm. Good point, Larry.
Now, you mentioned the botanical garden in Janesville. What was that called? I missed.
Rotary garden, and mm-hmm. it's a small, and I'm saying this in a positive way, it's a small garden, and why I like it, I go there probably four times, I try to visit all our gardens about four or five times a year, but Rotary garden is one of those. If a big garden overwhelms you, it's a great place to go. You could spend days there, but you could also walk through and see a lot of the garden and get a good sense of it. The entryway is packed full of annuals and dwarf conifers.
That's a beautiful place.
Isn't it? It's gorgeous. Formal gardens, a prairie planting, one of three nationally registered fern gardens in the United States, a nice Japanese garden. So it's great.
And I was going to say, you can go online to Rotary Garden Gardens in Janesville,
and yes,
and it'll pop up, and you'll get the directions on how to get there, and some nice pictures too. But it really is a nice place.
Yeah, it is, and then
that's terrific.
And then you gotta then add the rest to your list. Your family may hate me for sending you on a mission to see all of them, but beautiful places your whole family will enjoy, or your other gardening friends, drag them along. They'll have a good time with you.
Oh yeah, no, I don't think my husband will mind.
Oh,
he
good.
Has no choice.
Oh, that is no right. choice. Okay.
Thanks, Catherine.
All right.
Good luck with your
much.
New landscape, and welcome to Wisconsin.
Yes. And for more information on trees, too, you could go to our website, treeboard.org. It's Dane County Tree Board website. We have a lot of links on varieties and planting and all kinds of things about care. So it's another good place to go, treeboard.org. And let's go to Susie in Toma. Susie, hi to you.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
While I was waiting, I'm sitting in a window here looking out at my garden. With about 2.5 feet of snow on it.
Yeah.
And so this is a great program to take us away from the snow. I have a question about my dahlia bulbs. I dig my bulbs up every year, and this year I did put them in peat moss to store them. Mm-hmm. And somebody had told me that I should probably wet down that moss once in a while. And I just ran down to the basement and looked at them, and they are sprouting a little bit, but the moss is dry. Should I put some water on that?
You know, if your tuberous roots of your dahlia are nice and firm, there's enough moisture. One of the concerns if your peat moss is bone dry, it can pull some of the moisture out of those tuberous roots. But if they've suberized, sealed up, they're really holding that moisture in, and the peat's just keeping it that way. The danger is if they're sprouting already and you add moisture to the peat moss, that's going to encourage yeah. growth even more. So what I would suggest you might want to do is try to move them to a cooler spot if that's possible. That's usually the biggest problem
yeah,
for most of us. And if you want to get an early start, we're almost there. The middle of March is usually.
Yeah.
As you're looking at your snow-covered garden.
My garden.
You'll have your dahlias indoors. We were joking because when we tape for Great Lakes Gardeners, every June that I'm taping, you can see my breath. We're doing the bridges. It's summertime, you know. Welcome to the Great Lakes Gardener. And it's like, they're making me wear short sleeves. They are wearing jackets and, you know, can see my breath and I'm trying to look hot. So, you know, your dahlias may be living indoors in June if this continues. But cooler spot, if they continue to grow, you're going to need to plant them up. But at this point, if they're nice and firm, I wouldn't add moisture. I'm worried you're going to just encourage more growth.
Should I just throw that moss in within this spring when I plant them?
Out in the garden?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Okay, good. Well, thank you very
much. Thanks a lot.
It's a good work.
All right. Thanks very much for calling, Susie. Appreciate it. Melinda Meyer is our guest today, author of Month by Month Gardening in Wisconsin. On this edition of Garden Talk, you can ask her pretty much any gardening question that comes to mind. Here's the number, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments, and we'll get you on pretty quickly here. And callers online here, let's see. Dick in Lakeville, I believe, is next. Dick, hello.
Yeah, I bought some potting soil, Hypernex stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got sticks and stones in it. And I wanted to start some seeds. And what is the difference between starting soil and potting soil, or what do you do?
You know, that's a great question. I was lucky enough to visit with one of the soil baggers, manufacturers that works with a lot of professionals, a company that has provided potting mixes for greenhouses and professionals for many years, and had an opportunity to see their process. And because, like you, it's so frustrating. You buy a bag mm-hmm. of something, and it can be very different from bag to bag. It can be stick stones and all kinds of things. Usually when we buy a seed starting mix, it can often be almost all vermiculite or very finely milled peat moss, so the sticks and stones and all of that has been sifted out, and it's a much finer material to work with. Potting mixes can be almost anything, and you notice people are calling them potting mixes because most of them do not have soil in them anymore. They're peat moss, maybe some bark, maybe some vermiculite and perlite, and a mixture of that. Previously, we used to have some regular mineral soil added in. You know, you probably remember opening a bag and having a big clot of clay come out.
Yep.
You know, go, wow, I spent money. I could have dug that out of my backyard. And so one of the things I look for with any brand I purchase is consistency for me. And then the quality, and that it meets my gardening style. I tend to be a low input gardener. Lazy might come to mind, but I prefer low input because I'm busy like everyone else. And so I need things that work for me and are consistent. You could still use that as long as it's sterile, and it should be. I'm sure it'll say that on the outside. And I might just pull some of that debris out, or you might want to invest in some seed starting mix. The key to success is sterile containers and a sterile potting mix or seed starting mix. Go ahead.
How do you get things sterile?
Well, it should come that way.
The bag, right.
No, so, I mean, I've used old seed things.
Oh, okay. Just a one-part bleach, nine-part water solution.
Just dip them in there.
Yeah, exactly. And then rinse them off again so you don't have any of the bleach on there. I'm glad you asked that question. Mm. I had one woman that every year would lose her plants, and she was reusing her pots. And I said, you need to sterilize them. Oh, no, it's too much work. And I'm like, well, you're losing everything. So
That's why I'm losing them.
Yeah, so give them get a good clean. Your time and energy will be well spent doing that.
Unfortunately, I already have them all
potted. Okay, well, we'll keep our fingers crossed for you.
Good luck, Dick.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks a lot for calling. All righty, Elaine is next in the township of Richmond, I believe. Hi, Elaine.
Hi, how are you on this
lovely
day?
Wet, miserable.
Doesn't it feel that way?
Well, a few months ago, I bought a cyclamen plant.
Oh, I love them.
And a periwinkle plant. And the cyclamen is blooming and blooming mm-hmm. and blooming. More blooms. They're doing great. The periwinkle is just sort of all dying out, but the leaves look okay.
Okay.
Can I transplant? And they also call for indirect lighting. So that's not right in the sun.
Well, you know, I always laugh at that because I want to bring those people that write the tags to Wisconsin in the winter and have them stand in the light in the window because,
okay.
Yeah, you figured that one too, didn't you? You're like, wait a minute, there's not that much sunlight here.
That's true.
Exactly.
Well, can I transplant them, you know, when it gets warmer in a spot in my garden and then bring them in the winter, or what's going to happen with them?
Okay, good questions. With the cyclamen, there are some hardy cyclamen that are borderline hardy. I've had mixed reviews, a handful of gardeners having success. The one you have is one of the florist cyclamens, but won't make it outside.
It won't make it outside.
No.
Yeah, I bought them at florist in a grocery store
okay.
because they look so colorful.
And they're one of my favorites. So a couple things you could do. If you were going to move it out in the garden for the summer, leave it in the container. And a gardening friend of mine said he takes his wife's old nylon stockings, I'm hoping they're old ones, and covers the pot, the bottom, and then sinks the whole thing in the ground.
Oh.
Not going to keep all the bugs out, but it makes it harder for those sow bugs to crawl in through the drainage holes.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And then you sink the pot in the ground, so it means you water less often. You can leave it above ground like your other container plants, but if you sink it, then it looks like it's growing in the garden. You water mm-hmm. less, and that'll give it a good growing conditions. The cyclamen often goes dormant, so it may start yellowing, dying back. Put it in a cool, dark place or repot it. Either way.
Now, when will that happen?
That usually, you're lucky. Yours is doing very well.
It is.
It can happen. I've heard people have them grow as short as a couple months and as long as a year before it fades back.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's kind of like if you've got sounds like you have a good green thumb, you can keep it going. But it'll tell you. The leaves will start yellowing despite all your normal, consistent care.
Uh-huh.
And you can either then repot it at that point.
Okay.
Slightly bigger container, and that seems to kind of nudge it into starting to grow again. Or
yeah.
You can let it rest, and then when it starts to put out new growth, then put it back into good light and growing conditions.
These are perennials, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
But they're in then the periwinkle, if it's the annual I'm not sure when that, if
yeah.
did it have a botanical name like Catharanthus? I know, who would look at that but me? You know, if it's the vining periwinkle, which is Vinca minor, yeah, that would be hardy outside. But there's an annual Vinca that flowers. It's an annual outside.
Uh-huh.
And then somebody always makes up, common names, different parts of the
right.
country. So
yeah,
I hate to
yeah.
guess on that without seeing for sure and leading you astray.
Well, there's sort of trial and error in everything you do with plants anyway.
Sure
well,
is.
That's a good attitude. And if it dies, you compost it and room for something new.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the question. Good luck with those plants.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks a lot for calling. You know, you were talking about sunlight, and I was just, my wife and I are getting some new windows put in, and the windows we had were okay, but the new windows, we were sort of warned again that you're not going to get the light. They're the high
energy
efficient, low-E or whatever lights or windows that keep a little of that light out.
Yes. And it's funny that you bring that up because I had a call from somebody that was looking for, you know, exactly how much, and they'd been warned, and I could not find any research on it. So I think it's, as she was mentioning, a trial and error kind of thing, you know, that typically we don't get that much light anyway in Wisconsin.
Right.
And you usually say a south-facing light, but sometimes there's a tree or an awning shading that, and you just kind of have to experiment in your own home. I've had good luck in some places I've lived with a north-facing window because mm-hmm. there were no obstructions. I have a south-facing window that's 10 feet from my neighbor's, but the sun somehow, that's where I overwinter a few vines and things, mm-hmm. and for some reason,
it's just enough in
just
there.
Just enough in there. There's no reason it should work, but for some reason it does. So,
well, let's go to Nellie in Rusk County next. By the way, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. We have some open lines. We'll get you on. Nellie, hi. Good morning.
Hi, Nellie.
Oh, did we lose Nellie? I think I've got everything right. We must have lost her.
Too
bad. Well, try us again. Call back, and we'll get you on the air. Tell us a little bit about month-by-month gardening in Wisconsin. Your first edition of this was very popular, and now this is the new one improved. And what makes it, why should somebody who already owns the old one buy the new one or get the new one?
Well, one of the things we found is a lot of people like color and photos to keep them motivated and going. And anytime, my publisher knows that you can't just change the format. You have mm-hmm. to update information. And as more and more people are looking for alternatives, I tried to make sure that that was a really clear option for pest management. You know, if you know, chemicals is a last resort, but all the things you talk about and all your guests do about, if you're having a problem, put the right plant in the right location and some options for control. Some good diagrams. The fruit portion ended up in the back, but there's some, well, actually, I have a pruning section in the back I'm very excited about. Mm-hmm. So if you just want to, it's pruning time and you don't want it. Now, where was that? You know, you go to the pruning section in the back. And so I have fruit pruning and some basics on tree pruning and some things like that. And then I reference you into the rest of the book. If you want to learn about shrubs, it's on page. So I try to make it a little more user friendly, because even though I wrote the book and, you know, sometimes I'm looking for a diagram when I'm talking to people and I'm going, I can't remember where that ended up. And I'm like, I really wrote the book, but you know, you never remember what page. So we try to take care of that for me as well as for you, to make it a little easier to find some of that information that gardeners tell me they're always using.
Let's go to Nellie in Rusk County now. Nellie, are you there?
I think I'm here.
Okay. Okay. Thanks for calling back.
Yeah. I saw a wisteria advertised in Jung's catalog, a Kentucky wisteria.
Right.
They say it's hardy to zone 3. Do you think it would make it up here in the tundra?
Yes, I do. I've seen them growing up there. And here's the deal, and I'm glad you brought this up. The Kentucky wisteria, unlike the Asiatic, like the Japanese and the Chinese wisteria, is flower hardy. It will bloom for you. You read the articles about Japanese and Chinese wisteria, and they're the ones that have bare stems and huge flowers, 1 to 2 feet long, that are fragrant and so beautiful. And if you've ever tried to grow them here, you've probably had flowers once, maybe, or twice if you're lucky. And you probably never. So the Kentucky wisteria, once it establishes, now it takes 5 to 7 years before it starts bloom. I know. I have one by the side of my house, and I keep trying to coax it into coming to bloom a little earlier. But I'll tell you, it'll bloom reliably for you with the leaves. So it's flower bud hardy. It's about 1 foot long, fragrant. Some of them have a nice light fragrance, long bloom. And even though they're not as knock your socks off impressive as the Japanese and the Chinese, you'll have flowers and they're just as beautiful. They are vigorous growing plants, so you will need to do some pruning. But if you love the look of wisteria, get a good sturdy trellis or arbor, and this is the one to try.
Okay. Say, I heard a promo for Ira Flato's show this afternoon, and he's talking about him redrawing the hardiness maps.
Oh, yes.
Do you know about that?
The Arbor Day Foundation reissued the hardiness map. So if you go to the National Arbor Day Association or National Arbor Day Foundation,
yeah,
the new hardiness map is there. We are fairly close to what we were before. I'm from Ohio originally, and they're now all Zone 6, and none of them believe it. You know, it's to reflect the change in our weather climate, but I think all gardeners know that, you know, it's always safe to go one zone hardier, and if you push the limit, we all push the limit anyway. So I think it's a point of reference, and I think it'll be interesting. I'm hearing lots of discussion and debate about, are we feeling comfortable with this change or not? Mm. You know, so it'll be, and I don't know if you've had any other guests on discuss that or
really
not.
Haven't really talked about it.
And I have to tell you, I was home visiting, speaking in Ohio, and I stayed with my parents, and my father loves this, and he goes, here, did you read about the new hardiness map? And here's my father telling me that it was changed. So thanks, Dad, for keeping
much.
Me informed.
Thanks a lot for calling, Nellie. Appreciate it very much. Melinda Meyer is our guest today, author of Month by Month Gardening in Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller. You are listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking all things gardening on this edition of Garden Talk with Melinda Myers, Larry Mueller here. So happy to have you with us. And also today, joined for a moment by Anders Yoakum, who is Associate Director for Wisconsin Public Radio. And he has a pledge drive update for us, Anders.
I do. We're aiming for another $243,000 for this pledge drive. We need to raise that amount between now and 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Saturday night, about 31 hours and 13 minutes from now. So we need everybody to get behind this. We've come a long way already today. We need to keep going. And again, the number is $243,000 by 7 o'clock tomorrow night. I think we can do it.
I'm glad you didn't say by 12:30.
I was feeling a little pressure there myself.
All right, so there's the goal. $243,000 by Saturday
night at 7 o'clock.
Joy Cardine with us again, by the way.
It's good to be back, and yeah, I'm glad that the goal that we have for this hour is not quite that much, but it's still a good size goal. $13,000 by 12:30 is the amount that, Larry, we are supposed to raise in listener support in order to try to reach that overall goal at the end of the pledge drive. And on our way, though, right?
Yeah, we're on our way. We've raised $2,270 for this first hour, and our goal for the hour, the first hour, is $8,000. So we are really well on our way, and we've had a number of people call in with pledges of $150, I think, to get the thank you gift, which is Mel Meyer's book, Month by Month Gardening in Wisconsin. It's all brand new, lots of great new photos, updated information. It's your chance to support Wisconsin Public Radio, support this Garden Talk program and the great work that Mel and people like her do every Friday here on the Ideas Network. And you can make your contribution at 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. And I know Susan in Green Bay says she supports every year, even when there's no bonus or no thank you gift. That's fine.
That's great. Thank you very much, Susan. And that's part of it. It's not everybody picks up the thank you gifts or the bonuses, because we hope that the programming is worth that contribution to you. I think the bonus is the programming. Certainly, mm-hmm. Susan's listening along right now because she values what she hears on Garden Talk. She appreciates hearing Larry and the way that Larry has with guests and callers all over the state of Wisconsin and all the great information that you can glean from programs like Garden Talk. I know I learn something from Garden Talk every single week, and let me tell you, I have a lot to learn when it comes to gardening. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Make your pledge of any amount to support Wisconsin Public Radio and Larry Mueller and Garden Talk in particular. Make the pledge of $150 a year if you'd like the gift, because I think it really is a wonderful book, the month-by-month Gardening in Wisconsin book by Mel Myers.
And I tell you what, if you contribute, or when you contribute $150, we'll also send you the member benefit card. And the last time Mel was on, I asked her about the member benefit card. She had it because she's a contributor herself, but mm-hmm. she hadn't used it. So you took that to heart, didn't you, Mel?
I did, and I brought you my little pamphlet to show you. It's in my purse, and I have notes on there. And any time I'm going out to eat, I go check it out.
That's pretty dog-eared.
It is pretty dog-eared. I was embarrassed, and I thought, wow, I'm missing this great benefit, because I support public radio because I believe in it, and I listen to a lot of the different shows. But I thought, wow, this is a great benefit. And it was like, and I even told a few friends, we went back to a restaurant, I said, well, I already used my card here, but you might want to join because you could then get that same benefit. So it's one, and it's all over the state, so as I'm driving, I can find places and I'm on the road. It's wonderful. So thank you for nudging me into using that benefit.
And that's going to nudge me to remember to use mine, too. I've used it twice so far since I got my renewed benefit card, but it is a good deal. 255 restaurants around the state of Wisconsin that are participating in this benefit. You get 2-for-1 entrees at the participating restaurants, plus there's 2-for-1 admission for various cultural events, and even some online shopping deals, which I haven't checked out yet, but I will. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Or pledge on the web, WPR.org. The important thing, Larry, is that we just have, 9 minutes left in this hour. Need to raise at least $8,000 this hour in order to kind of stay on track so we can try to pick up that $500 challenge grant that we have going on.
Yeah, we
got
a nice challenge grant from Qualine Fence of Wanakee, and they've been really, really nice of them to put this challenge grant up. And, you know, Joy, I want to remind people that although it's snowing outside and it's miserable outside, come June, the weather's going to be warm, the sun will be bright, the winds will be wisping through our hair as we as we travel along on our boat, a boat ride with other Wisconsin Public Radio listeners.
I hope that's the case. This year, you never know about the weather. But we hope that on Saturday, June the 30th, the weekend of Rhythm and Booms in Madison, the Midwest's biggest fireworks show, Larry and I and Gene Ferracca and some other folks from Wisconsin Public Radio, but more importantly, a lot of great listeners like you will be on a boat cruising around Lake Monona. Going to be a great menu there, a buffet lunch, late lunch that we'll be able to chow down on. And then we're going to stop, dock the boat, take a short walk to Larry's house. And last year, I'll tell you, Larry, this was really a lot of fun. Larry has a beautiful backyard, a beautiful setting right on the lake. And Renee, his wife, is an excellent pastry chef, made wonderful desserts, and we chowed down even more on those desserts. And then we had some great great refreshments, some soda and wine and beer, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. It was a very nice time, great conversation, lots of fun. We're going to play some games, do some sort of trivia game for Wisconsin Public Radio, and we'll just have a really great time. This is a special event this summer, and it is our thank you to you for a pledge of $100 a month or more. A $1,200 pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, a generous pledge, will help Wisconsin Public Radio stay financially strong, and this will entitle you to two tickets to cruise around the Cruise of Ideas with Joy and Larry and Gene. 1-800-383-9772. Won't you join us for that, or won't you make a pledge of any amount to help support Wisconsin Public Radio and Garden Talk in particular? This is the last opportunity during this pledge drive to make that call count for Larry Mueller and Garden Talk.
So call in now at 1-800-383-9772. And I was thinking about the sort of three different kinds of contributors that we have here at Wisconsin Public Radio. We have new contributors, people who have never contributed before. This is your opportunity to put your vote in for Garden Talk. Then we have people who are renewing, and it's time to renew your annual support to Wisconsin Public Radio. It's a great time to take care of your renewal. And then we've had people, actually this has happened to me, I've had people who have contributed earlier on other shows, maybe your show, Joy, and then decided, you know what, I like this show too, so I'm going to put in an additional gift. So we've got people who have mm-hmm. already given something, but have considered an additional gift. And, of course, any amount is most welcome. And if you contributed, let's say you contributed $600 the first time around and you contribute another $600 this time,
I bet you you'll get tickets to that cruise.
You're going to get tickets to those cruises. And I tell you what, we need to make our goal right now. We've got about $4,000-some-odd to go to reach our goal. And we're not going to reach our goal without your help. So give us a call now at 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. And $150 will send you the member benefit card and that great Gardening in Wisconsin book. Joy, you've got that in your hands.
I do, because I'm going to accidentally walk off with it when I'm playing. This is a great book. It's the month-by-month, what to do each month to have a beautiful garden all year. Gardening in Wisconsin, it's your revised edition, Mel, and I was going to say that we have new members, we have existing members that might renew, we have those who might add to their pledge, and let me add, well, as I mentioned, you can also call in and give a gift of a membership to somebody, mm-hmm. and if you want to be able to have this wonderful book sent to the gardener in your life, if maybe you've already got your copy, maybe somebody else would like one.
And one of the things people have told me is even if they're expert gardeners, they pick up some tips along the way, and it's a reminder. You know, mm-hmm. March snuck up on me. I don't know about you. And it's like, oh, yeah. And it's a good chance to just get refreshed and review what needs
exactly,
to be done.
Exactly. 1-800-383-9772. Just a couple of more minutes left in this hour, Larry. We are at almost $3,400, but that's not where we need to be at noon. But we can do it with your call at 1-800-383-9772. Still need to raise more than $4,000 so we can stay on track, so we can reach the overall goal by the end of the program and pick up that extra $500. 1-800-383-9772.
And, you know, if we had about three more of those $1,200 contributions,
that would be all feeling better, wouldn't we?
That would do it. Or if we had maybe 25 or so of the $150
that'll
contributions,
do it too.
That would do it too.
That's the point. They kind of
everyone
adds
up.
Yeah, one at a time. We make these goals one pledge at a time, and your pledge right now may help us reach this goal of $8,000 by the end of the hour. And I think more importantly, though, you want to make that pledge because you want Larry to know that you love this program, and you want Melinda to know that you love the advice that she gives on Garden Talk, and that you really do value the great information and the entertainment that you get day in and day out on Larry Mueller's program. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
Any amount is welcome. So whatever. I saw a contribution earlier of $50. Thank you very much for that contribution. We've seen many for $150. I don't know that we've seen a $1,200 one yet, but we're hoping for that. By the way, you also become a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle when you contribute the $1,200. 9XM stands for our first transmitter, and you will become a select group that I'm a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle. I'll show you the secret handshake to get into the meetings. You'll get some special benefits on the side, and, of course, you'll be on your way to the cruise of ideas, as it's called, with Joy, Gene Faraca, and myself. But maybe you can't afford $1,200 right now, but maybe you'd like to contribute and get a copy of Mel's book. So let's do it. At $150, you'll have a copy. 1-800-383-9772.
That's
call
right.
Now.
That $12.50 a month, that works out to $12.50 a month. You can pay for it monthly. That's a $150 contribution for the year for Wisconsin Public Radio. You will get, if you want it, this great book by Mel, Gardening in Wisconsin. It's a month-by-month guide, what you can do every single month to make sure you have a beautiful garden, a healthy garden. And you'll get the member benefit card, and you'll get the satisfaction and the knowledge of knowing that you are paying for this service, not only for yourself, but for all of the listeners of Wisconsin Public Radio. And you will let Larry know how important this program and he is to you. 1-800-383-9772. Do call in your pledge. It's your last opportunity during this pledge drive and during Garden Talk, and we really do need to hear from you.
And keep pledging. We'll be taking a look at the news, and we'll be back, and Mel will answer more of your questions. You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, having a lot of fun today with Melinda Myers of Milwaukee. As you know, she hosts the PBS television show Great Lakes Gardener. She's authored many, many books. Can't Miss Small Space Gardening, Month by Month Gardening in Wisconsin, The Garden Book for Wisconsin, all kinds of them. And her latest book out is the revised edition of Month by Month Gardening in Wisconsin. It's a wonderful book. If you have a question for her, we'll be taking more of your calls in just a matter of a few minutes. Give us a ring at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. I know Anne in Kenosha has a question about tomatoes. You may have a tomato question. Maybe you've got a flower question. Maybe it's a vegetable question. Whatever the question, feel free to give us a call. I know Mel will have the answer. Stay with us. News next. You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Melinda Myers, author of Month by Month Gardening in Wisconsin. Give us a call if you have a question, 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. And Ann in Kenosha has been patiently waiting. Let's go to Ann. Hi, Ann. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning.
Hello.
Larry and Melinda. Yes, I have a question regarding tomato seeds and planting them
okay.
and hardening them. I did this last year. They came along really fine at a little straggly side for quite a long time. I had them under a grow light. And then as I took them out for an hour or so a day and brought them in, maybe that was too long of a time. But out of a couple dozen plants that I had, I only could save three, which were delicious. they're my favorite because I have diverticulitis and there's hardly any seeds in this plant that I picked, or this tomato that I picked up north somewhere, and so I like to have it continuing in my garden every year.
Okay, a couple things, and I'm glad you brought this up. I think as gardeners in the north, we're always anxious to get started. And mm-hmm. probably when I was back when I was an extension agent, they really evaluated the tomato starting time, and they really moved it back into early April, which when are we usually, we used to do it middle of March or mm-hmm. early March.
Yep.
And finding that, you know what, we were starting our tomatoes too early, and by starting them later, we'd have more compact, stouter plants.
Uh-huh.
Keeping the lights, if you're growing them under artificial lights, just about 4 inches above the top, because you really want it good light. That'll give you sturdier plants. There was even some research that movement helps to stiffen the stems. Mm-hmm. And so some people will put a light fan on it, or I had a friend that would every day he would kind of brush his tomato plants back and forth and stiffen up.
A lot of people do that.
Exactly. And it stiffens them up. It gives them a bigger, stouter look. And then you're right, that whole hardening off thing that we need to do, whether you're buying plants right from the greenhouse and putting them outside or you're growing them yourself, is gradually introducing them to the out of doors. And what I like to do is start, I do a couple of things. I'll sometimes throw them under season extending fabric in an area that's fairly shaded, mm-hmm. and the season extender eliminates the need to bring them in if it's going to get cold, and it keeps them a little bit warmer. And then as things warm up, I can start peeling it back as needed and keep it handy to throw on at night. And then gradually introducing the light. And sometimes if you find a protected location and just put them out in shade initially, and then an hour, and then 2 hours, and then 3 hours, and not in and out. Because what may be happening is the transition from the temperature as well as the light moving in and out and in and out might be difficult. Stop fertilizing when you start the hardening off process. You're going to water so that the soil gets just slightly bit drier than you've been keeping it inside, because you're trying to toughen everything up. So you might want to try finding a nice protected spot. A cold frame works well. The row covers, the season extending fabrics are another good way to kind of help those plants through that transition and reduce some of your work. So you might want to try a few of those things.
And good luck. Thanks a lot for calling in. Appreciate it very, very much. And John in Brookfield, it's your turn. Hi, John.
Hello, Larry.
Thanks.
And Melinda.
Hi, John.
A question on the Master Gardener certification.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a defined curriculum for that certification? And what institution provides the certification?
Well, do you mind if I answered this one?
I
was lucky enough to start the program in Milwaukee County and worked with Dane County, Milwaukee, and Fond du Lac all worked together. And their programs throughout the state, and they're run by the University of Wisconsin Extension. And it's a wonderful group of people, and I will give you your chance to put your 2 cents worth in. But I have to brag about the Master Gardeners.
Oh, you go ahead.
Some of the nicest people I've worked with. And there is curriculum. There's a general training program, and then some counties do a specific program. It's a great chance to meet university specialists, people in the industry. Even though I'm not with Extension, I'll occasionally go in and do some training sessions. The specialists come in. It's one great way to get to meet some of the people you hear on the radio, like Phil Pelletier and Brian Huddleston and Laura Jahl and Scott Craig. I mean, they're great resources, and you get a chance to be connected. And then in return for that training, they need you to volunteer, because what they're doing is training you to help spread the word. So, and you know, people go, oh, volunteering. Well, if you haven't volunteered for something you love, you've missed a great opportunity. I still hang out with the Master Gardeners, you know, occasionally, and they'll even say, oh, you're doing community service, we'll come and give you a hand, you know, unofficially, because, you know, good people doing good things. And if you love gardeners, I haven't met a bad gardener yet. So,
and so the best place to go is to your county extension office and talk to the horticulture educator there, and they will, or just give them a call and they'll tell you how to get hooked up. I'm sure there are course classes. What class is starting?
There's some in the spring and some in the fall. And I've done some distant ed, so some of the counties that are smaller can get it via televised training, too. So if your county doesn't have a hort agent, somebody there can probably connect you. Oh, he's in Brookfield. Yeah. I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention. Ann Weed would be happy to help you out in Waukesha County. They have a very strong program.
Yep.
I see. Do you know of any correspondence courses that are offered in that to to get some of the courses completed, some of the training completed?
I know they're doing some by videotape. They do some at night as well, mm-hmm. because people are working and trying to accommodate that. There are some horticulture universities that are offering online training. It's not Master Gardener. Mm-hmm. And UW-Madison would have their approved curriculum, so you would need to work with them to be certified as a master gardener. So Larry's right. Stop by and see. Yeah, in Waukesha County, they have two horticulturists, and Ann Weed is the one that works with the master gardener program. And you might want to stop there. And you may want to ask her. She may have some ideas of what they'll accept from other states and counties as well. Mm-hmm. But online, there's some neat things happening for more a little not for the Master Gardener program, but for some other horticulture education through Michigan State University, for example,
yeah.
has some outreach programs too. So
good luck, John. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to have a lot of fun. Thanks. Rose in Glenwood City, it's your turn. Hi, Rose.
Hi.
Hi, Rose.
Hi there. I have a question about a house plant. It is what I have always called an English ivy,
okay.
only it's variegated. I think that's hedera rather than like some things that are called Swedish ivy and so forth.
Right.
Anyway, I have a gorgeous one out on a porch where it's about 50 degrees, and I believe it might have some kind of a disease. I've looked and looked for insect, and I can't see anything like that. But on the ends of the branches, the leaves are falling off, turning just brown first, sort of yellow brown to brown. And then on some of those branch tips, I don't know how to describe this. It's like something oozes out of the stem. It feels waxy. And now that some of those areas have dried up, they almost look like they're trying to put out little roots there. And anyway, the rest of the plant just continues to grow, but then when it gets down to the end of the stems, this disease kind of takes over all the new growth, and so it's continually dying on the tips.
Hmm.
Okay. I always love these because the picture in my head is probably nothing like she's described to me. But here's a couple things you might want to look for. Certain insects, like scale insects, that thing that oozes, does it come off when you scrape it with your thumb?
Well, I'm going to drop my phone if I try.
Okay.
Well, don't do that.
I'm going to just kind of give some options because there might be people with similar things, and then we'll see if any of these fit. Scale insect are insects that when they're young, you can't really see them moving around. They're kind of translucent. They find a good feeding spot. They suck plant juices and secrete the excess in a clear sticky, but it's a clear sticky substance called honeydew. Aphids, mites, mealybugs, which is a soft scale, and also whitefly will secrete that. Really, typically scraping off the mature ones and then spraying the plant with insecticidal soap to kill the immature ones, and repeated applications mm-hmm. are needed. There's also something, some plants, you'll see it on ficus and others, where you'll get a waxy exudate that's just part of the plant. It's not sickly or abnormal, but you wouldn't see like rooting tendrils there. Cankers are from disease organisms, and they're sunken or discolored areas that could ooze, possibly. 50 degrees. English ivy is borderline hardy in our area, especially the variegated one outside. So 50 degrees, you shouldn't be having a problem. Spider mites, heavy populations can cause browning, especially on the tips. They're very tiny and hard to see. Sometimes putting a white piece of paper underneath the leaves and shaking it, you'll see the little flecks running across the paper. It's a good clue you have spider mites. If you don't have the webbing, that doesn't mean you don't have spider mites. It means you just don't have zillions of them to make the webs. And that, again, insecticidal soap, a good safe option to try. One of the things, when the weather gets better, maybe some good hard pruning on that, disposing of the parts that seem to be infected, encouraging new growth, sometimes will trigger it into some better growth that way. And if it continues, checking with a greenhouse, a local county extension office. If you have digital capability and patience, you can send me a digital photo at my website. And I'm doing my best to keep up with questions. And so if you send one and I can take a look, and maybe I'll go, oh, that's what she was talking about. And it's melindamyers.com. So it's an easy website to reach.
Thank you very much for calling, Rose. Appreciate your call very much. And Joy Cardine joining us again. Joy, did you check on the number of pairs of tickets we have left for the cruise of ideas?
The estimate is that there are 12 pairs left. And so with 12 pairs left, that means there is a pair for you at 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. The pair of tickets to the Cruise of Ideas on June the 30th is the $100 a month pledge. We hope, though, that you will call in a pledge of any amount in the next 12 minutes or so, Larry, because this is it. This is the very end of the winter pledge drive as far as Larry Mueller's weekday program is concerned. Your last opportunity to support Wisconsin Public Radio and Garden Talk in particular and Larry Mueller's program in general. 1-800-383-9772. And such a special thank you during this hour, the revised edition of the month-by-month Gardening in Wisconsin book by Melinda Myers. Yours this hour for a pledge of $12.50 a month or $150 to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Susan in Bear Creek sent in a contribution, said she's been waiting all week to decide when to pledge, and when I heard about the garden book, I decided to pledge right now.
All right.
Yeah, that's great. And Peggy in Waupaca says, we're finally able to pledge. And Mary in Wallace says, since starting my own business, Wisconsin Public Radio has been a constant daily companion since I work alone. Couldn't do without it. She called in with a contribution. Lisa in Wisconsin Rapids said some very nice things about this show.
And I will say, because you're going to blush, Larry. It says, Larry's show is wonderful. Larry is wonderful. Mel, his guests, I love their guests. It's wonderful that we have such devoted, loyal listeners. Larry, Lisa in Wisconsin Rapids, thank you so very much. You agree, too. Larry's show is wonderful. It's worth your pledge, your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. You can pledge on the web, WPR.org, as well. Larry, we do have some work cut out for us here in the next, 11 minutes or so. $8,000 or so, I believe, is what we have to raise, a little less than that, but about $8,000 in order to make the goal of the program and get the extra $500 from the Qualine Fence Corporation.
And that's a fair amount of money, but you know what? We can do this $150 at a time. We've had many $150 contributions, and if we had a number of those right now, we'd be well on our way to reaching that $7,000 goal, or a little over $7,000 goal. And I really hope we can make it, because it is a vote of support for this program, especially for the Garden Talk program. We're now in the last 10 minutes of the drive for this particular program, and the drive is almost over anyway. It'll be over tomorrow at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, that's right. And that's one of the reasons it's important that we reach these hourly goals, because by the time the phone bank is shut down at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, there's a number that we need to reach in listener support in order to have the budget in the black, in order to have the amount raised by listeners that we need from listener support. 30% of our budget comes from listener contributions, and that's why we have pledge drives like this one, to ask you for your contributions. And we need to reach this goal by the end of this program to stay on track to reach the overall goal at the end of the drive. So won't you help with your call, your pledge of $150 a year or more, or any amount, at 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or WPR.org.
And you know what's kind of fun to look at here? We've 12 new contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio during this program. 12 people who have never contributed before, or who at least have not contributed in a long time. And so about a third of the people, it's running about right, about a third of the people that are contributing during the show have not contributed before. If you've never contributed before, what a great time to do it. You're going to love this book by Mel Myers, Gardening, Month by Month Gardening in Wisconsin. It's all brand new. Even if you have the old edition, you're going to love the new edition. She's got lots of great new information in it. Wonderful photography in it this time around, and that was kind of one of your highlights, Mel.
Right, and then a pruning section in the back for quick reference. And I think, you know, when you get your hand pruners out and you walk out in the backyard, what do you cut? So it's all there for you.
Oh, that's great. And what I also love is this month-by-month guide, because I need that. And I was looking in what I should be doing in March, and I thought, okay, well, I didn't think of that, so now I know. And so every single month, some tips, some advice on things you should be doing to keep your garden healthy and happy and beautiful. And if you're like me, you're going to really love a guide like this. The Month-to-Month Gardening in Wisconsin Guide by Mel Myers. Our thank you to you for your pledge of $150 a year or more to Wisconsin Public Radio. And you'll feel great after you make that call, because you know that you have supported a quality service. You'll know that you supported a program like Garden Talk that you really enjoy, that you get such great information from. And you'll get this great book. And just looking at that and thinking of spring and thinking of our gardens, doesn't that make you feel good too? 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
Boy, there's some beautiful garden pictures in here, too. As well, I'm kind of looking through this as Joy's.
Yeah.
I almost lost track of what I'm supposed to be doing here.
In a few minutes, you'll have a little more time there.
I can't wait to see the tulips, the beautiful tulips on the cover of the book. I can't wait for that time of year when we start seeing the tulips peeking out from under the snow. It's going to maybe take a while this year. 1-800-383-9772. Only, Larry, a few more minutes to go here. 8 minutes maybe to go.
6 minutes.
6 minutes to go. Wow. And we need to raise about $7,000. We can do that, though, with your help. $150 at a time, or $100, or $500. 1-800-383-9772, or for that matter, $1,200 if you'd like a pair of tickets to go boating, cruising with Larry and with myself and Gene Ferracca. We'll have a lot of fun on June 30th on this cruise. The other day, Larry, I mentioned the cruise, and we actually, during my morning program, I don't know, about six pairs of tickets went.
Wow.
And I realized what I said. I said, maybe we can get Larry to go parasailing, or maybe we can get Larry to do something like jumping in Lake Monona. I was making up things that maybe you would do, so maybe we can come up with a special hook like that. Huh?
If we get rid of all those pairs of tickets during this program, I'll be happy to jump in the lake.
All right.
Drag me around behind the boat.
You heard it here first. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. The amount of your pledge, that isn't so important. It's important that you make the pledge to let us know that you value this program, you're willing to help pay for the programs, this service that you value here on Wisconsin Public Radio. But your call will also, we hope, help us reach this goal by the end of this half hour, only about five more minutes or less to go for that. And if we do reach the goal, $500 extra is tossed in the coffers from Qualine Fence in Wanakee. 1-800-383-9772.
Or go online to WPR.org. Whichever way you do it, your contribution is needed right now. It's really important to meet this goal. I really would like to get the challenge grant, the $500 challenge grant. I think it would. It's a kind of an incentive for you to contribute. If you haven't contributed yet, or maybe you want to contribute a little more to help us reach that goal, it would be a wonderful thing for you to do. And certainly, it's a support statement for Garden Talk. We've got a great community of listeners here on the Ideas Network, and I think it's particularly tight on Fridays between 11 and 12:30. Mm-hmm. We have master gardeners all over the state who actually tune in and listen every week. In fact, some of the horticulture extension educators allow their continuing education credits by listening to this program from 11 to 12:30. And so we hope we're teaching people a few things, but having a lot of fun, too, at the same time.
I think so. And, you know, one of the things that always impresses me when we come and I get to join you on this event is your listeners not only are loyal, but generous. I think we've always made our goal when I've been here, so please don't disappoint us. The pressure's on for me, too.
And the gift this hour, though, is just absolutely outstanding. The book, Month by Month, Gardening in Wisconsin by Melinda Myers. our special thank you to you, but only during the next few minutes. The program's almost over. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. The pledge is $150 a year or more, and you'll get the great book, and you'll get the member benefit card. Don't forget that you can enjoy two-for-one entrees at all of those restaurants all over the state of Wisconsin with the member benefit card. So gardening and food, two of my favorite things.
They go together.
1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. Larry, the phones sound like they're going crazy, and that's great. But we still are...
We're still short.
We're still short of that goal. So keep... You fill up one of those lines at 1-800-383-9772.
Watch me jump off the boat into the, into the lake. I'll be standing up in the bow.
Yeah, we'll figure out. We'll make Larry say, I'm king of the world.
Hands up there, and I'll jump right over the side if we complete all those tickets. I would really love to do that. There's 2 minutes left to go here before the program's over. And we're moving up, but we still have about 3,000 or so to go, or maybe a little more than that. You can help us out right now. Pledge $150. Pick up Mel Meyer's book that way. Get our member benefit card or contribute $1,200. It's your last chance, really, to get the book. We're not going to be offering it again, so it's your last time chance. If you haven't contributed, do it now. If you've contributed, maybe you want to add some. We've had some people do that as well. But whatever you do, do it right now. 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org.
Yeah, the drive, as far as Larry's weekday program and Garden Talk is concerned, will be over in, what, a minute? 1-800-383-9772. I'm sure if you get to the phone right now, your call will count over the next few minutes or so, but you need to get to the phone right now. Make that call. Make that pledge of support to support Garden Talk and Larry Mueller and all of his great guests like Melinda Myers, and pick up the month-by-month Gardening in Wisconsin book.
1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.